Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello, guys, and welcome to another edition of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and today we got a special show for you. It's special because we are going to be releasing some stories from eyewitnesses that were recorded from our recent presentation at Mountain, Wisconsin. Now, these stories are actual eyewitness accounts of people that were in attendance there in our audience, and they came forward and were kind enough to share their stories with everyone in attendance, and we are going to share their stories with you today on the podcast. So, we hope that you enjoy these, and they are from all over, not just Wisconsin, and I think you'll find Wesley's story very intriguing, and we'll get right into it. Without any further ado, please enjoy the interviews from Mountain, Wisconsin. Mike? Is there a Mike here? Mike? Mike? Good. This concludes the mic check.
I thought he had a story.
That was a bad joke. Okay, so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we are going to invite you guys all to come up here, and we want to hear your stories. So we want to start out with anything in the area. So if you've had an experience in this area, come on up here, tell people your stories. And if you can start out, we are taping this whole thing, so you have a camera right on you. If you don't want to appear on anything we show, that's fine. Tell me right off the bat. Just say, I don't want this video used for that, and it's just for us here. Otherwise, if you don't mind, when we do our episode on our research in Mountain, you may find yourself on it. So let me know that off the bat, and if you have any local stories, come on up and give us your story.
Have everybody at once.
Where's the guy that wanted me to come to his house?
The one that said the whistle she left. The whistle she
left. Okay. Anybody outside the area? How are we going to find any Bigfoot in Mountain if nobody knows where Bigfoot is in Mountain?
Outside
of Wisconsin. Come on up here. You need it a little higher. Good?
That's good.
Alright. What?
Alright, this goes back a while. Probably about 1970. I had land in the UP, west of Nishigami. Three lakes.
Okay.
Very small. Three lakes. The wilderness, though, is probably 50 miles in either direction. So I had a trailer, dirt road going back to it. I was the last structure on that road. And I was up there with my family, my wife and my two children. And my wife was sleeping. It was about 4 o'clock, it was fall, it was getting late. I was playing cards with my son and my daughter. They were 7 and 8. This is what it used to be. Right? I know you got knocks now and you got barks and you got whoops, but the sound used to go like, woo! Well, we heard something like that. And I said, well, what the heck is that? And we go outside and stink. Now, it wasn't there before, but boy, it sure did stink now. Thing continued to make that noise and then started breaking limbs. I had she was a female German Shepherd, but she was big, 120 pounds. She was shaking. She didn't like it. We all decided to, maybe the smart thing to do is retreat to the trailer. And we did. And, of course, we woke up my wife. By this time, there was no more noise, but it still stunk. And that was typical in those days. They were talked about three things to watch or listen for. Was that wail or scream or whine, the stink, and breaking limbs. And these limbs, they had to be big because they cracked like thunder. I would say whatever it was probably within 100 feet of us, and very aggressive, didn't want us there. Tell you a little funny story too. When we went to bed that night, my kids had bunk beds in the bedroom, and my son slept on the bottom bunk. Window was right there. Dad, can I sleep with you and Mom tonight? No. Can I sleep on the floor? If you want. He said, well, I'm afraid that thing will be looking at me through the window. That's all I got.
What year was that? Awesome.
I live here in Lakewood.
What year?
About 1970.
Okay.
It was a while ago. But we've enjoyed it. And it made, I don't know if I'm a believer, but I'm not a doubter.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Come on up. Don't be shy.
I think I have to drop the mic for you, though.
Okay.
Do
you see this picture?
I do.
I think that you put that up, and I'll tell you the story of it. Okay, I have a picture, but nobody can see it because it's so far away. It's very unusual. It looks like something was pulled out of the ground, turned upside down, and hung on a tree or something. It's really weird.
Is it?
Anyway, this was it, and maybe you can even put it on the camera.
Kind of looks like a root ball on top of a tree with like the roots hanging down.
Yeah, could you put it on the camera?
I can't get it up off the...
Okay,
I'll walk around.
First off, we were camping, and we were going to go down the Mississippi camping. We went into Iowa, and close to the Mississippi, just south of Minnesota, is a campground called Pike's Peak Campground. And it's right on the Mississippi River, but it's real high. And I have a picture on there of what I'm going to talk about, too. That was, I would call it a tree structure, but it was just all the branches wound up. Some of them were busted. They were coming this way, they were busted and turned and back into other branches. So I have pictures of that and explain it. And then, so I asked the campground manager, is there activity of Bigfoot around? And he said, no, but farther south, I think it was called the Backbone State Park in Iowa. So we said, okay, we're going. And that's where we went. And we started driving around while we were there. And we went down this big dirt road. And we saw a sign that said cave. So we said, let's go to the cave. Got out of our car and walked a little ways. And there was this thing that I just showed on the picture. And I said, what's that? It looks so weird. So I stayed there and took pictures of it. And my husband kept going, and he went to the cave, went quite about as far as where that picture is of the big black cat. Not quite that far, but close. Maybe just the trees, not that far. Anyway, he went there by himself, and I was still taking pictures, and he yelled at me and said, "Did you just throw a rock at me?" And I said, "No, I can't throw that far." And he said, "Well, I just got hit by a rock in my back." And looked around, I didn't see anything, but it had to have come from the woods in front of him, between me and him. So I walked to the cave. The cave was just a little cave. It didn't go very far in. But there was this small rock about this big, and he was positive somebody threw that rock and hit him on the back. And later he said, "No, it must have fell off the edge of the cave. But if it would have, it would have hit him on the front." But he said it hit him on the back, so he was facing me. And so I've heard of many people say that usually when they throw rocks, they don't want to hit you, they throw next to you. But my husband is very hard of hearing. He can barely hear at all. And so I think it probably did throw a few rocks at his feet, but he didn't hear it, so he threw one to hit him. And there was another smaller cave on the side, and I said, "Let's go to that cave." And my husband said, "We're going back to the car." So that's it. But I don't know, I didn't see it.
Thank you.
Who else has got a story? Let me ask this. How many people think you have ever seen or encountered one?
Maybe.
So come tell your story.
Many, many, many years ago.
Well, I tricked you all, didn't I?
On the spot.
Thank you.
This has got to be 35 years ago when me and my wife moved in together. We lived on a small little hobby farm, Fremont, Wisconsin. Anybody know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there have been Bigfoot sightings there many, many, many years ago. I was actually feeding the chickens. And my wife said, "What is that in the field?" We had like a pasture behind our house and a big pine forest behind that. And the grass was maybe a little bit about knee high. And she goes, "What is that?" I'm going, "What are you talking about?" And she pointed out to the field, and we watched this thing. It wasn't large, on all fours. And it would jump on all fours, and its hair was long enough to where as it was jumping, the hair was going up in the air and coming back down, and the hair would go back down. And it would disappear into the grass and bounce up again. It was nothing I've ever seen before, and we watched it for a good 15 minutes until it disappeared into the woods. It was not a dog, it was not a cat, it was something with long brown reddish hair jumping straight up and down. So, and we still talk about it 35 years later, like, what was that? And we still don't know. So
you said it was on all fours?
On all fours, and it was jumping straight up.
How far did the grass come up on? You said it was about knee high?
The knee high, but you could see this whole body come out of the grass. That's how high it was jumping.
Wow.
So he would, otherwise he'd be under the grass.
Yeah. And we watched it a good 15 minutes, just jumping out in the pasture.
So. How big do you think it was?
It had to be my size. I mean, it wasn't huge, but it was human size. So, no dog, no cat, no deer or whatever. It was nothing like that. So.
Bulky?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who else had your hand up? You did. I know you did. All right, come on up.
Howdy.
Good.
Hello, I'm Mike. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've always had a passion for Bigfoot, thinking that he was a caveman. When you're 10 and 12 years old, you think there are dinosaurs or dinosaurs that existed. My mom was reading an old Argosy article about the Shipton climb in the Himalayas when they came upon the tracks in the snow. And she asked me, what do you think? And I really didn't know at that time. You're 10 years old. What do you believe? That was in 1961. In 1963, off the tip of Africa, they caught a coelacanth, which is a 3-million-year-old fossilized fish, alive. So then I thought, well, if fish can exist, cavemen can exist. Then in 65, there we go. Then in 1965 in Boys Life magazine, there was an article about a logging crew in California, in Northern California, not the Jerry Crew story, but very similar, of something leaving big tracks coming into the job site and throwing turnipole tires. And at that time, it was also throwing full barrels of diesel fuel because fuel wasn't hauled in by truck as it is today. It was hauled in drums. And in the morning when they'd come back to their equipment, there'd be tracks around it. So that was my next sort of thought of maybe there is such a thing as a caveman. Well, in 1967, of course, there was the Patterson-Gimlin film that took place in October. And in the spring of 68, my buddy and I, who were huntaholics and fishaholics in this area, had a cabin over near Chain Lake. We decided to go see a documentary put on by Art Laha about he was one of the first guys to ever take a polar bear with a bow. The thing that we remembered most was in those years before each movie, there was a newsreel. And that newsreel was the Patterson-Gimlin film of Patty walking on the creek bed. Now, she was probably playing the wounded sparrow or sandpiper, trying to lead the two guys away from what they had found later on were small tracks by the root ball where she was taking a drink out of Bluff Creek. When Brad and I both seen that, I can't hardly remember anything about the bow hunt, but I can remember saying, when we graduate in 69, we're going to go look for Bigfoot in California. Well, 69 came, and Uncle Sam had other plans for us, but I luckily ended up out in California in the Navy with the Seabees, and my roommate was from St. Helens, Oregon. And so he took me to we went home with him three different times, and we went to the ape caves, which were basically lava tubes of Mount St. Helens. And although there were sightings in that area, the reason they were called the ape caves was because of a Boy Scout group called the Apes. So no luck there. Then going back home from Oregon, back to base, we stopped in Redding, California, where we thought Bluff Creek was, and got another lesson in Bigfootin'. But they did talk about them there. Well, I got out of the service in 73 and I put Bigfoot on the back burner till 2013. I was doing a geocache in Newberry, Michigan. And I opened up the ammo box and out popped a furry hand and I thought, this is great for the kids. So I signed the log, never read what the catch was about, and I got frustrated trying to stuff the hand back into the ammo box and finally decided to read it. And come to find out, this guy's theme for all of his catches in the UP were based around Class A sightings in the UP of Michigan. And I thought, where did this guy bump his head? That's a Pacific Northwest animal. So I did a little bit of research. That was the last few weeks in June of 2013. 2 weeks later, I was on a Bigfoot expedition in Seney Wildlife Area, about 10 miles from where I hunted bear for about 20 years. And we had some awful, strange things happen there. We had eye glow. We had an ahi-wah that was so loud you could feel it on your chest. There were no visuals at that time, but we had a hellacious amount of rain. Since then, I've been on 34 BFRO expeditions and about 200, between 200 and 300 personal expeditions. And I've experienced everything except the visual, and I'm at this point, I don't even know if I need to see one. Especially once you've been handed infrasound or mind speak and you see it happen to people, it's great to wish for it. It's another thing to experience it, but whatever, you came here today, please keep looking. I've now been at this, well, it'll be 8 years in July. And actually, I'm leaving next week, Wednesday, for Danbury, Wisconsin, and Minnesota to do a little hunting and pecking around there near the St. Croix. So the most serious thing that everybody talks wood knocks or odor or tree structures. I've experienced them all. The one thing that happened to me that sticks with me the most, I was with a very good friend from Tennessee who got infrasound zapped at Frank's Lake here in Wisconsin. And I mean stopped her dead in her tracks. And I didn't know it at the time. I wasn't being affected by it. So I turned to where she thought it was coming from. I spoke to him. This whole thing took 7 or 8 minutes. But when I finally said to him in a nice way, and don't be afraid to talk to him, put your hands up in the air, let him see your hands. At that point, I got a whoop, and I could finally see the light on my truck that had been on the whole time. So we got out of there, and she luckily didn't end up with any physical damage, which I have seen happen where people have urinated blood the next day or went into vomiting or convulsions. It happens, so be careful what you wish for. That's basically my Bigfoot stuff. But enjoy. Have a good time.
What is that? Oh. Yeah, what is that?
Go ahead. You can explain it.
Infrasound is a very low frequency of audio. We can't hear it. It's used in a lot of animals, like tigers use it to incapacitate their prey and stuff. It's a very, just a frequency of sound that they can emit, and the animals will become paralyzed or disoriented and stuff. But you can go online and go on YouTube and look up infrasound, and you can listen to it with headphones, and it'll make you a little sick and woozy if you're interested in it. We've tried it with our members of the team as an experiment just to see how we, in fact, reacted to it. Craig had an incident on his property where he got a really bad headache when he was out hunting one day, and it was at the same time he had a 55-gallon drum, and it's open on top, and it got knocked over, but the wrong way. So the open end would have been towards where it got knocked over. So he keeps hearing this drum get knocked over, and he's getting this thing, and when he went out and looked at it, the drum had been knocked over. So he thinks that the thing, the Sasquatch, was in the area and stuff. Another animal, the elephants, use infrasound to communicate over long distances. So, does that answer your question?
Yep.
You got a lot of information in your thing that I think went over a lot of people's head, but what? I appreciate it. Anybody have any other questions about that?
That was interesting.
Cool. Are you going to the one in Wisconsin? The BFRO expedition?
No, I'm going to Minnesota.
Okay. I signed up for the one in Wisconsin. I got approved. Then I looked at the calendar, and it's the same day I'm going to be in Minnesota. And I went, next year. So I'll get there, but not that one. And then I was going to go to the one in New Jersey, because I'm going to be there the same week, except we're going to Mothman Festival. And then the next weekend, we're in New Jersey.
It's the same weekend as Mothman Festival, so I can't go to that one either. So I haven't been batting 100 on BFRO. All right, next. Who wants to tell us a story? Nobody else has seen Bigfoot, heard Bigfoot, Bigfoot activity, anything like that?
We wish we would.
Well, let me back up a little bit. We said after the Bigfoot questions, we would open it up to any other questions. Does anybody have any questions about anything else that you're interested in that we could answer or our experiences? Was it a yes? No?
Have you done anything with restaurant and food company? I heard that's haunted.
Right now, I short answer is no. We haven't done anything with them. We've been told a lot of private buildings and stuff like that. The issue with us is we pretty much have to get invited or know someone there, because our schedule, like, we are scheduled almost every weekend all summer now. We take priority of, like, like if CSS walks across the road or something, we'll go there. Or if somebody has a paranormal something that needs help with it, we'll go there. But right now we're at conferences all over the United States this year. We'll be in Kentucky, Tennessee, somewhere down there, and then Minnesota and Pennsylvania, and we'll be all over the summer. So we've investigated a couple businesses, but nothing. But I do know that it was. Ooh, what's Mothman? Yeah, he's right there.
Yeah, over there.
Mothman was originally found in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, originally reported. That's where he gained his fame. It's basically a humanoid that is all black with red glowing eyes and big wings. It is a flying humanoid creature. It's again famous for Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where it appeared to several witnesses right before the collapse of the Silver Bridge. And that killed several people, like, was it 40-some, 60-some people on Christmas Eve in 47. Anybody know what year? I don't know. 60s, 40s, somewhere in there. But yeah. And recently, it's been sighted in Chicago. It has been sighted all over the U.S., different reports of it and stuff, all very similar to it. And in fact, it's been sighted all over the world. If you look at other cryptid reports like the Ahul in Papua New Guinea and some other, like I said, with the Bigfoot, the different names and the different locations, if you start looking at descriptions instead of the name,
listen to my voice,
you start to find patterns and stuff like that. Any other questions?
I have one. Do you have any other cryptids that you consider yourself, like, you said that the Chupacabra was something that you really had a passion for. Are there others that you really, really, really consider yourself a specialist in? Anything that might be more obscure, even, than the mainstream ones, kind of? Because I've got one that I'm going to follow this up with, I'm going to ask you about, that I've never really heard talked about a lot, but I told you that I had kind of a story that kind of brought me personal interest a little bit. It's not from this area,
yeah,
but...
I'm going to tell your story.
Well, I answer a question, then we can...
Yeah, answer that, and we'll do that.
Okay, so, any other cryptids that I'm a specialist in? Well, there's no experts. Everything is just basically thought, opinion, and stuff. I've done a lot of research in the Chupacabra. I'll go over that, I guess. Chupacabra is a small, varied in description. Some think it has wings, some don't. It's about 4 feet tall, bipedal, reptilian, alien-looking thing that's been sighted down in Puerto Rico, Texas, and Puerto Rico, Texas. God, yeah, expert.
Arizona?
No.
Mexico.
Mexico, yeah. Down in that area. Basically, what it is it goes around and it kills livestock. And it drains them of blood. Basically a little creepy vampire thing. It's actually been reported, though, all the way back in ancient history, history. There were several cases over in England, and they had a very similar set of instances where these animals and livestock would be killed to puncture holes in its neck or in its arm or something, completely drained of blood but not eaten. And they have said in Cuero, Texas, that they found this hybrid of a blue, they're called like blue dogs now or something, I guess, but I don't, hairless dog and a Mexican wolf, I think is what they're saying it is. And they exist, there's pictures of them all over, you can find them all over the internet. But I personally don't believe that that's what's killing the stuff originally. I think they found this thing, and it is a new species, which is what cryptozoology is all about. But I don't think that's what the original stuff was. Whatever that is disappeared. There was a recent sighting in 2019. But like I said, yeah, there was. So other ones. I'm a fan of Mokele Mbembe. I'm a fan of the Ahul, just because I like saying it. Mokele Mbembe is from the African river basin, the Congo. And it is basically a dinosaur. It is a long neck sauropod, like a brachiosaur, long neck. And the witnesses down there, all the natives and stuff, they take them pictures and they say, is it elephant? Is it rhino? They say, no. Is it this dinosaur? Yes. So they all have reported this exact thing. And so, but they found footprints of it. They've got audio of it, but they've never been trail cam or video or stuff in there. But it's basically like that. Loch Ness, I'm sure everybody knows about that.
What about that deal that was in Elkhorn, Wisconsin?
The Beast of Bray Road. We will be at a convention for that in October 3rd, I think. October 3rd, it's a Friday. Second? You guys going? Yep, we'll be there. We're gonna have a booth there, but all right. So the Beast of Bray Road was originally sighted back in the 90s in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and what happened was the author Linda Godfrey, she was doing a report on a sighting of this upright canine creature like a werewolf that chased a car down the road and left scratches on it. So she started looking into this, and she went to the animal control office. And they said, oh, you mean the werewolf file? And they plopped an entire file folder on the desk and said, oh, there it is, it's yours, go have fun with it. And since then, she has become the foremost authority on the Beast of Bray Road and has been on numerous documentaries, Expedition X on Discovery Channel? Discovery Channel just did an episode. They were in Elkhorn, Wisconsin looking for it with Josh Gates. And our episode from Lee Hample, if you watch the episode Lee Hample, we were actually on his property last year and did an investigation. That episode for us just came out like a week before the Expedition X episode came out, so we beat Josh. And I'm really mad because I got to go down to Milwaukee and see Josh Gates, like give a presentation stuff, but I've never met him, so I'm a little disappointed Lee didn't give me a call to meet Josh. But he said he only got to meet him for a half hour, so I guess I'm not too disappointed. But the Beast of Bray Road has been sighted all over. The Michigan Dogman, for instance, is the exact same, pretty much thing, same reportings, and that's a huge thing, and that was big even before the Beast of Bray Road. And you can find reports of the upright canines all over the world. And that's another whole presentation that, you know. But, yeah, that's... He's out there.
That's weird.
Over there.
Yeah,
definitely. Any other questions?
No, he needs to tell his story.
Oh, yeah, you've got to tell your story now. Did I finish or what? Did I answer your question?
It's kind of leading in to what I'm talking about a little bit, that we're talking about the dog men. And
yeah.
I know we're kind of talking about dogs. I am not from Wisconsin. I am from Arkansas. I've been up here about 10 years now, but back in Arkansas, when I was in high school, I saw a dog with horns like a deer. I'm for sure what I saw. Me and a girl that I was dating at the time were driving around one night, and we had not been drinking or anything. It was a clear night. We were on a country road, and we saw a dog walk out. It was a clear night, and that's why I was asking if you'd heard of anything
more obscure, it was a huge dog, and it wasn't a noticeable breed of, I couldn't say, oh, it was a Rottweiler with horns. It was a German Shepherd with horns. It was a black dog, but it was the size of a calf. It was a big dog, but it had antlers. It had a rack. And I don't know if it was an 8-point or 12-point. I mean, it had it had a rack like a deer, but it made us sick. Like, we weren't scared, but it made us sad and sick. Like, if I had have had a gun or a weapon in the truck, there's no way I would have been able to shoot it. It made us physically ill, and I've told this story. I mean, I'm 46 years old, and I've told this story to countless kids over the years. And they, oh, let's go hunt it. Let's over the years they got up. Kids have wanted to go chase this thing. I'm like, I never want to see it again. I don't know what it was, but it was horrible and sad, and it made us sick at our stomach. It was physically. The girl started crying. We. It never came toward us, but it moved. Like, it followed the truck as we pulled up. I slowed down. We probably drove 75 to 100 yards slowly on up past it. And we slowed the truck down enough. And I asked her, I was like, oh my God, what is that? And she said, you know, Wesley, it's a dog with horns like a deer. Please, let's just go.
But it was a dog with horns. Let's just go.
After that night, we broke up. About this thing, like it was weird enough where we didn't want to see each other again after this. Believe it or not, it was a weird, life changing, weird directional, total 180. We didn't want to see each other again after that night. We didn't talk about it for a long time, but we lived in a small town, so we still were in the same circles. We still were around the same people, but we didn't mention it for kind of a long time. Like maybe a year passed. We saw each other later on, and one night I was just like, "Hey, do you remember? Like, do you remember that? Wasn't that weird?" And sure enough, we talked about it that night, and it's giving me chill bumps just talking about it, because, like, until that night, we really hadn't said anything about it. But sure enough, I'm 100% sure what I saw. But after that night, which again, about a year had passed. It was like the floodgates had opened. I was like, oh my God, I gotta talk about this. I gotta tell people. I was scared to tell anybody because it sounds crazy. I mean, honestly, no crazier than what we're talking about already. I mean, kind of. But yeah, it's like after I said the initial, like, hey, I saw a dog with horns. After I said it the first time, it didn't sound so crazy. And so after we did start telling, because she started talking about it too, some more people came and said, yeah, well, it comes to find out there are a lot of Indian folk that live around that area. It's something to do with that, supposedly. Never got a lot more than it has to do with that. But I had wondered if anybody had ever heard of anything else like that up here, maybe. And that is Central Arkansas location. But 100% sure, and it... still to this day, sometimes I have weird dreams about it. They just pop in my head. But 100% sure, but it wasn't necessarily really scary, just really
different.
Yeah, just sad and sickening. But it has made me really interested in this kind of phenomenon. So,
thank you.
That is it. Yeah.
Yeah, they call it. I mean, we just started calling it the Devil Dog, and that's what we've always joked around and said. Oh, what's the Devil Dog?
Like a hellhound.
And right. Have you heard of Carrieville? Around, I'm from.
Yes.
Now we live in Bloomer. That is pretty close to that, around Eau Claire area. And I've heard of Carrieville, and they talk about the hellhounds of Carrieville and that area, kind of by Bloomer, where I live now.
I've never heard of hellhounds having horns, though,
yeah,
or antlers.
I don't know the story of Carrieville,
so,
but I've heard of hellhounds there.
Small detail, would you consider it like horns?
No.
Or a rack of antlers?
Antlers.
Antlers.
Sure.
Yeah, I have heard a lot of weird things. I mean, there's reports of people that have seen like satyrs and minotaurs and just weird creatures in their backyard. And I mean, here's where I stand on this. You can't look at someone and say Bigfoot's real, but that's not. You can't. I mean, that's why, you know, this whole group, we go and investigate anything. You tell us you saw that out in the woods, we'll go look for it. I mean, that's what we're going to do, because we can't tell you that what you saw is irrelevant or invalid, because you saw it, we didn't. And who's to say that, you know, whatever these things are, if these things are interdimensional or otherworldly or something, if they can shapeshift, who knows what this thing is? Maybe it was trying to be a dog or a deer and got stuck, you know, and halfway in between.
Since then, some people have.
So you said that there was other reports of this thing.
What kind of area did you see it in? You know, like, was it by a school or a cemetery? Or
just a mountain road, foothill. I mean, honestly, kind of like this area, kind of like this. For the Ozarks.
Kind of like woodsy area? Do you know about what year that was?
93, actually. Yeah.
That isn't
almost,
by
almost exactly 1,000 miles away. So you got quite a drive. Yeah.
That isn't by where we're. Is that?
No.
That's not by him.
No.
Right. We're going on a road trip to investigate with somebody, but that sounds like something he could go on. Okay.
Road trip.
Yeah.
Well, then there was lots to watch.
Oh, yeah. We're not done with this yet.
And that's another, you know.
That's its own other thing.
It's like a Bigfoot with wings, because it wasn't Mothman, it was bigger.
There was recently a report last on the night of Thanksgiving, or the night, I think it was Thanksgiving night, in down southern Wisconsin, kind of by Madison area. I can't remember the city, but it was between like Madison and Elkhorn. Kind of by Burlington and stuff there. City...
Stoughton.
Yep, by there. That's not the right city, but it was by there.
McFarland.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's
right.
Nope.
Anyway.
these two girls were out driving around, and, you know, as one does in the country, because there's nothing better to do, so they're driving around on Thanksgiving night, and they pulled up to the stoplight, and this giant, basically we're going to call it a Sasquatch with wings, swooped down across the road in front of them, scared the crap out of them. They got out of there. Well, then as one does, they get curious, and they went back, and they saw it in the same area standing in a field. So I don't know what, we call it moth squatch, I don't know what it is, but there's also bat squatch, has been reported other places, which is pretty much the same thing. But, what's that?
The bear squatch.
Bear squatch, yeah. The half bear, half Sasquatch.
Oh, I made that up.
I just don't hear you. I'm sitting on the speaker. So it doesn't surprise me anything nowadays. I mean, we have got reports of, well, not we personally, but I've heard reports of, you know, Frogman, Loveland, Ohio. Giant, you know, 4 foot tall frog standing on its hind legs walking across the road. Where is Ethan?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while.
Ethan is the guy to tell you about Frogman, but that guy hasn't been seen for a while. Either of them, Frogman or Ethan. Neither one of them has been seen for a while. And then, couldn't have gone far, his monster's still sitting back there. But then you have, you know, like, my favorite animal is the giant anteater. And unfortunately, you know, do you all know what a giant anteater is? Don't need to describe it? Okay. Long nose, kind of like the size of a dog, big fluffy tail, lives in the Amazon. My favorite animal. And I have recently come across sightings of a giant upright giant anteater down in the Amazon. So this is a cryptid that I've never heard of. But basically what you can do is, any animal that you've seen, you stand it upright and call it a human, and somebody's seen it. They've seen goat men. They've seen cat-headed animals, dog-headed animals, the frog man. I mean, alligators, yep, down, where was that? Georgia, Florida area? That's in Linda Godfrey's book. This guy was down on guy down on a boat, and this thing came walking across the shore, went in the water, came up on his boat, and was coming in his cabin. And she's got the story in her book. If you haven't, if you don't know who Linda S. Godfrey is, definitely look her books up and read them. She's very good author, and she's got stories from all over. Everything. I mean, she's got Bigfoot and you know, Dog Man and the Gator Man and everything. Just tons of stuff. She's really good.
I would just like to personally thank everyone who did come forward and share their stories in Mountain with us. We really appreciated hearing them all, and I hope that you guys that listen to our podcast appreciated listening to them too. So until next time, I'm your host, Barnaby, and I want you all to go out there, travel the roads, go for hikes, and make your own stories, and then come share them with us here at CAPS. So until next time, take care, guys. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's Wisconsin, CAPS.com. There you can find links to our YouTube and Facebook pages. You can also submit your sightings and encounters. And don't forget to check out our online store for t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you have had an encounter with something unexplained in or around Wisconsin, we would love to hear about it. You can send us an email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com, or to submit an anonymous report, visit our website and click Report Your Encounter on the main page.